بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir. This day of Ramadan, 1447 years after the hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Makkah to Medina, in the Aminat Khos Masjid in Boso, behind Boso Primary School, Boso local government area of Niger State. We're reading Surah Al-Ma'idah. Surah Al-Ma'idah is the fifth chapter of the Quran. And in Surah Al-Ma'idah we have read up to the third verse. We have not concluded that, so inshaAllah ta'ala, hopefully we shall conclude it now and continue bi-idhnillah ta'ala. May Allah be our guide. So maybe we read it again.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim min hamdihi wa nafthihi wa nafthih. حرمت عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل لغير الله به والمنخنقة والموقوذة والمتردية والنطيحة وما أكل السبع إلا ما ذكيت وما ذبح على النصب وأن تستقسموا بالأزلام ذلكم فسق. اليوم يئس الذين كفروا من دينكم فلا تخشوهم واخشون. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. فمن اضطر في مخمصة غير متجانس لإثم فإن الله غفور رحيم.
الله says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفثه. حرمت عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل لغير الله به والمنخنقة والموقوذة والمتردية والنطيحة وما أكل السبع إلا ما ذكيتم وما ذبح على النصب وأن تستقسموا بالأزلام ذلكم فسق. اليوم يئس الذين كفروا من دينكم فلا تخشوهم واخشون. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. فمن اضطر في مخمصة غير متجانف لإثم فإن الله غفور رحيم. So we have taken up to وأن تستقسموا بالأزلام ذلكم فسق.
إلا ما ذكيت وما أكل السبع إلا ما
ذكيتم. إلا ما ذكيتم. نعم. That's why we stopped with the explanations.
نعم.
وما ذبح على النصب. وأن تستقسموا بالأزلام ذلكم فسق. So Allah subhanahu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the things that are haram to us. So most of what we have read, about five of them or so, are talking about things we cannot eat. He starts with what? حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ. So al-mayta, you cannot eat. But like we explained, there is a way you can use it.
No.
That is carrion, mushi. Huh? There is a way you can use it, but not through eating. You cannot eat it. It's haram for Muslims to eat carrion. Wadamu, it's haram for Muslims to drink blood or to boil it and eat or whatever. It's haram. It's not edible to us. Walahmu al-khinzir, also pork. It's haram to eat pork. Then what again? And whatever was meant was slaughtered in the name of other than Allah or for other than Allah.
No.
That one you also cannot eat.
No.
All of these have to do with things we cannot eat, right?
No.
Then وَمَا ذُبِحَ عَلَى النُّصُبِ. Right? No. Have we done that?
No.
We have not done that.
Yes.
Okay. وَمَا أَكَلَ السَّبْعُ. And what the wild beasts have eaten, the predators have eaten. All of these you cannot eat. Then Allah says, إِلَّا مَا ذَكَّيْتُمْ. Except that which you were able to slaughter. And we said, the best way to look at it is to say that all of these things you cannot eat unless you were able to slaughter them. So if an animal was about to die, but you slaughtered it before it died, whatever was going to cause its death, as long as you were able to slaughter the animal before it died, we said it is valid. Didn't we?
No.
Okay. So, if I say didn't we and you said yes, it means we didn't. Huh? It's like Allah saying, Alastu bi rabbikum, and you say na'am. So maybe the same does not apply to English.
No.
But in Arabic, if I say, did I not, and you said yes, it means I did not. Huh? So instead of answering na'am, you say bala.
No.
Huh? Awa lam tu'mi? Qala bala walakin liyatma'inna qalbi. Right?
No.
Aha, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرْنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ.
No.
Did he say na'am? He said what?
Bala.
Aha. So like that. But I don't know English. Maybe it's not like that in English. Anyway, we explained all of that, right?
No.
So now we continue from there. So if a lion or something attacks an animal, before it could kill it, you were able to chase the lion or hyena or whatever away. And the animal was still moving, maybe your cow or your goat or ram or whatever. And then you were able to slaughter the ram or the goat. This will be okay for you to eat. The Malikiyah would say this is not okay. But this is one aspect of Malikiyah that most Malikiyun do not obey. Or do we obey it here? Huh? When a car hits an animal here, do we allow it to die?
No.
What do we do?
Slaughter.
We slaughter and everybody eats it.
Yeah.
And we are all Malikiya. Eh? So that's one aspect of Malikiya we do not abide by. Actually, the right opinion is that it is permissible to eat it, if you are able to slaughter. And of course, we brought a hadith too that should explain it too. ما أنهر الدم وذكر اسم الله عليه فكلوا. So whatever, and as long as it is one that you are permitted to eat. So we have gone past that, inshallah. So now Allah then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إلا ما ذكيتم. Then he said, وما ذبح على النسب. And whatever was slaughtered on Nusub. Nusub is the plural of Ansab. Is the plural of what? Say it now, why are you hiding? You don't hide knowledge now. Give it to us. Nusub, is it plural or singular? Say it now, come on. Is it plural or singular? Plural. So what's the singular? Nasab. Barakallahu fika. See what you were running from. Don't you feel a little shy? The boy you are teaching, he has said what you were refusing to say. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا ذُبِحَ عَلَى النُّسُبْ. Who has water? وَمَا ذُبِحَ عَلَى النُّسُبِ. And whatever was slaughtered on Nusub. What is Nusub? It is the plural of Nasab. What is Nasab? They say that the things that people worship other than Allah, apart from human beings and cultures and all that, the things that people make and worship, that there are four different ways that the Arabs put them. And they all occur in the Quran. One of them is Kintan. Ma hadhihi at-tamathil allati antum laha akifun. The other one is what? The other one is Nasab, this one. The third one is what? Watan. Wajtanibul. وَاجْتَنِبُوا الرِّجْسَ مِنَ الْأَوْثَانِ. So there is وَطَن there, the plural being أوثان. Which is the fourth one? We have said كِمْثَال, there is نَصَب, there is وَطَن, and what? There is صَنَم, أَصْنَام. Asnam, where does it occur?
Asnaman.
Na'budu.
Asnaman.
Asnaman. Akifi. So Asnam. So there are four now. What is the difference between them? Kintan is the one, for example, that the people of Noah were worshipping. Why? Their own, they were imitating. It was like statues of people who were known. So the Kintan is like the imitating of something that already exists. A human being, or like the one of Samiri. That one was a calf. But he imitated it. Then there is the wasan. The wasan is not an imitation of anything. It's not in any shape. The sanam is an imitation, but not necessarily of anything known. Just mold anything and you begin to worship it. It doesn't have to be somebody that is known. So they say, كل تمثال وصنم وليس كل صنم تمثالا. Alright, then there is the what again, water, that one, it has no distinct, it doesn't resemble anything. And then there is the nasab. The nasab is actually just stone. But then in their belief or superstition, they believe that there is something attached to that stone, that when they worship that stone or they make sacrifices on that stone, they will be able to achieve some of their aims. Or some things they demand from Allah, they will get as a result of, you know, their worship by that stone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا ذُبِحَ عَلَى النُّصَبِ, and what was slaughtered on such stones that people believe to have power. Anything like that, to slaughter on that is haram. So first of all, it is haram for us to engage in such a practice, to slaughter for such a stone. And then it is haram for us to eat what was slaughtered for such a stone. So it's haram for us to engage in the practice, it's also haram for us to eat what was slaughtered for such a practice. In the same vein, any slaughter that is for any festival or any deity that we do not recognize. We do not recognize all those deities. So those deities which we do not recognize, if any slaughter is for them, we do not eat such meat. I hope this is understood.
No.
We do not eat such meat. We do not participate in such activities, and if some people do it, we do not eat what they have slaughtered. So for any reason, for Eid al-Mawlid, for Eid al-New Year, for Eid al-Christmas, for Eid al-Lent, or whatever, Iska, whatever, we do not eat that. If you slaughter for that. But if you slaughter to eat, a Christian or a Jew slaughters an animal to eat, we will eat that. I hope that is understood.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
But not what he does for such gods or deities or whatever, or such festivals that are theirs and not ours. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has replaced for us all festivals with only two. So any other festival we do not recognize. So anything slaughtered for that unrecognized festival, we also will not recognize it as meat. I hope this is understood.
Mm.
Okay. So وَمَا ذُبِحَ عَلَى النُّصُبِ وَأَنْتَ تَسْتَقْسِمُ بِالْأَزْلَامِ, and it is also haram for you to use arrows to seek luck. Or you say, before you take any decision, you want to use arrows to see if that decision will be good or not. This is close to what diviners do. When somebody wants to travel, he will go to a diviner and he will say, check for me if this journey is good. He does something and he will say, no, it's not good, don't go, don't travel. This is shirk. This is kufr. It is haram for any Muslim to engage in this. If anybody does such a thing, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, if you go to him and ask him and he gives you a response and you believe him, you are a kafir. You are no longer a Muslim. You have rebelled against that which was revealed to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Man ata kahinan aw arrafan, this is arraf, fasaddaqahu bima yaqul faqad kafara bima unzila ala Muhammad, aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Okay, so we do not participate in such activities, and when somebody does that, and says anything, we do not believe it. The danger here that Muslims have found themselves in is that most of the films that you watch now, you find such things being done in the film. Even the Europeans that ordinarily you want to think do not believe all those things, even they make films like that. And you see maybe a small girl or an old man or somebody, and then the person says, you want to do something, he says, don't do it. Don't do it. If you do it, so something will happen. And if the person does it, the thing will happen. And then you find yourself following such a girl. You want to see the things you begin and how they will end. And somehow you begin to believe that if she says anything, that is how it will be. So when she says to somebody, do not travel, and the person travels, they say, ah, look at this fool, he's going to die. You are already believing that girl now. I'm believing what she's saying. So you are already believing in diviners. The film is making you believe in fortune tellers. And this is fisk. Fisk is kufr, shirk. That is fisk here. The first meaning of fusuk is kufr. Kufr is fusuk. And then zulm, the first meaning of zulm is shirk. Inna shirka la zulmun azim. That's the first meaning. There are other meanings, but when Allah uses the word zulm, the first thing that comes to mind is shirk, unless there is a karina that shows that it is not shirk, it's something else that's being talked about. So we must be careful with those things that we watch. What's advisable is that people should stop watching such things. Because sometimes you just think you just want to have fun, you just want to while away time. And actually, do you even have enough time to while away? Should any Muslim have enough time to while away? When you say you just want to unwind, you might die as you are unwinding. And you know, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Good ending is on taqwa. If it's not on taqwa that you end, subhanallah, the whole life that you lived would have been worthless. So, and you, because you do not know when the life will end, you want every minute to count. Every minute of your life, you want it to be that time that you will die. Because you know you will die. You know. And you have not been told the time. So take it that every second of your life is the time you will die. Any second you have to breathe, maybe that's the last. So let it meet you either in sujood or while you're saying, Astaghfirullah al-Azim al-Ladhi la ilaha illa huwa. You're going to say, Hayyul Qayyum, and you die. Alhamdulillah. Or you say, Astaghfirullah al-Azim al-Ladhi la ilaha illa hu. Before you say, Al-Hayyul Qayyum, you die. Alhamdulillah. But you're watching football, and then somebody scores a goal. You say, Mercy! And then you die. Subhanallah, this? So it's Subhanallah that you should say. What are the other names? And then you die. A'udhu billah. It's not a good thing. So all these things, we Muslims do not believe them. And anybody that promotes such things, we also should not be with such a person. We should not participate in any activity that promotes such things. وَأَنْ تَسْتَقْسِمُوا بِالْأَزْلَامِ. Allah says, ذَلِكُمْ فِسْقُ. That is fisk. Fisk is from fasaqa. So, and you know, who was fasaqa first used for? Where? In Surah Al-Kahf. Allah says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ. كان من الجن ففسق عن أمر ربي أفتتخذونه وذريته أولياء من دوني وهم لكم عدو بئس للظالمين بدلا. سوف فسق عن أمر ربي. So fisk is what shaitan first did. And what is shaitan? Is he a mu'min? Is he a mu'min? No, it's a kafir. فَفَسَقَ أي كَفَرَ. Because in another ayah it actually calls it kufr. Like where? In Surah Al-Baqarah. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. So here فسق, here كفر. All now same. As we say in pidgin English, they say you shouldn't call it pidgin again, call it Niger language. It's not only Niger people that speak pidgin. So they are the same thing. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكُمْ فِسْقٌ. That is kufr, that is disbelief. So do not do that, do not engage in that. If you want to travel, seek Allah's guidance and say the dua that Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam used to say and be contented with that. If you want to make any decision and you are not sure what's the right thing to do, do istikhara. Say two rakats and say that dua that Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam taught us to say. Once you have said it, believe with your teeth that whatever you choose is the best thing for you, and go ahead and do it. But those people that will say they are doing hisab, they say, no, they are the same thing, my brother. They are the same thing. The same thing that the kahana do is what these ones are also doing. They just change their name. They call them malam. It's not malam. It's boka. It's boka, is the same thing. It's not alpha, it's babalao. It's not an alpha. Alpha is the one that teaches people to recite the Quran and tells them the meaning of the verses of the Quran, teaches them the hadith, teaches them the dua of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teaches them tawheed, teaches them fiqh. That is alpha. That is alpha. Like alpha Abu Nasir, like alpha who? Tell me their name, Yoruba alpha. There's one in Ibadan, I forgot his name now. Abu Deya, and people like that. Abdul Ghani Jumu'ah, these are alpha. But these ones that engage in these things, divining, fortune telling and all that, those ones are not alpha. Those are babalao. A'udhu billah. Dalikum fisk. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-yawma ya'isa alladhina kafaru min dinikum fala takhshawhum wakhshawun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-yawma ya'isa alladhina kafaru min dinikum. Ya'ani an tarji'u ila dinikum kuffara. So today, those who are unbelievers, no longer have hope that you will become non-Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking to the non-Muslims, to the Muslims of that time, the ones that were alive when this verse was being revealed. A particular people. They no longer had hope at that time that the Muslims would convert to their religion again. Because they had already seen that the Muslims were now convinced and they had knowledge and all that of their deen, and so they were established. So they no longer had that hope. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ الْكُفَّارَ كَانُوا يَطُمَعُونَ فِي عَوْدِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ إِلَى دِينِهِمْ. In the beginning, they were hopeful that the Muslims would come back to the worship of the idols. But after some time, it became clear to them that that would not happen. فَلَمَّا قَوْيَ الْإِسْلَامُ يَئِسُ. But when Islam was established and it became strong, then they lost hope. وَيَئِسَ وَأَيْسَ بِمَعْنًا وَاحِدٍ. So the same thing. فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not be afraid of them. Do not be afraid of any harm that they will bring to you again. Because now you are strong, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you strong and they have lost all their strength. And you are now the strong one. So no more fear. Therefore some rulings will be abrogated. The rulings that were at play when the Muslims were weak, now that the Muslims are strong, will no longer apply. For instance, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. That was abrogated. By what? Whoever does to you, you have the right to respond. So it's no longer compulsive now, it's no longer a command now that when they offend you, when they insult your religion, when they do this, you just be kind to them so that they will be able to embrace Islam. That was no longer it. That was so because the Muslims were weak. Now that the Muslims are strong, you can no longer attack our religion. You can no longer say bad things about Islam and go free. You can't insult the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and go scot-free. So the Muslims that today will say, after all, the non-Muslims insulted the Prophet and nothing was done to them. They failed to understand that there were the early days of Islam and there are the latter days. The days when the Muslims were afraid of them, some things were tolerated. When Islam was established, there was no way some things could be tolerated again. So those things were no longer tolerated from them. So that if the things turn around and you find yourself in the situation that the Muslims found themselves in the early days of Islam, the ruling would still be the same. You take it easy with them because they are in control. When you are able to gain control, some things they do now that they get away with, they can no longer get away with. However, there is no time, no matter how strong you get, that you're permitted to just attack and kill them when they have not done anything wrong. Or to even insult them. Or to be rude or harsh to them. There is no time you are permitted to do that as a Muslim. No time. But then some things that you would have tolerated in the beginning, you can no longer tolerate when you are strong. So for those who come to say, democracy is kufr, this is that, whoever participates in it is a kafir, blah, blah, blah. That's where you bluff. That's where you goof, Whoever participates in it because he is weak and he thinks only by participating in it will he be able to change some things, may not be doing the right thing, but at the same time he will not be a kafir for that. He cannot be a kafir for that. Because he has no option. There is no better thing for him to do to change those things. Our children have to exist here today. Because they exist here today, they have to go to school. They have to obey the laws of the land. If we are not part of the government, the laws they will obey, at the end of the day, we will lose those children. But if we are part of decision making, we will be able to hold some things. The fact that Muslims got into politics is the reason why in Muslim-dominated areas today we have at least Sharia on paper. So if you have somebody who is serious, you'll be able to implement it to some extent. And then at least we have the Hizbah that is controlling some things and things like that. So if people get into it because they believe they'll be able to do such things, you cannot say they are kuffar. They are going back to how the Sahaba existed with the Kuffar when they had no power. So, but when you get the power, then Allah says, اليوم يئس الذين كفروا من دينكم فلا تخشوهم واخشوهم اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. Now أكملت and أتممت, what is the difference? كمال and تمام, what is the difference, sir? Come on, just let's interact. Check and what does Sahibul Iziya say? What is the difference between Akmaltu and Atmamtu? Tamam and Kamal. Just give us the idea that you have. Anybody? I'm not particular about him. I just, since this one refused to answer, I came back to him. I'm picking my checks. Yes? He says Akmaltu. And then he says Atmamtu. You don't know. Okay, good. Who else? Yes? What? You are stealing the answer from the pool. Okay. Tamam. Okay, yes, you are on track. Actually, I like the way that, I think it is Muhsin Khan, one of these translators. I like the way that he put it, or is it Yusuf Ali? He says, today have I perfected for you your religion. So, Kamal is perfection. But when it comes to Atmamtu, and have completed for you my favor. Isn't it? But the first one he says perfect. Good. So that the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made complete. But it can take addition. So tamam in Arabic can take addition. Kamal cannot take addition. But the ukmil, there is no addition to it. So when you have a cup of water and you fill it with water, you have a cup and then you fill it with water. If you want to add more, what happens before? This is kamal. But when you use tamam, it can take an addition. And you could still suppress it and you could add more. So the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unending. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Has no end. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, today have I perfected for you your religion. So Islam was perfected the day that this ayah was revealed. The day that this ayah was revealed, Islam was perfected. What does Al-Imam Malik bin Anas say? That if anybody believes that there is something in Islam that was not known in the time of the Sahaba, the time of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, that now he will bring, and that thing will be good, it is as if he has said that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam should change the ummah. That there were some things he was supposed to give us which he refused to reveal. So he hid it and now he is bringing it out. Then he read this ayah. Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. So he said, مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ يَوْمَئِذٍ دِينًا فَلَا يَكُنُ الْيَوْمَ دِينًا. Whatever was not in the deen at that time cannot be the deen today. When you tell the some of the Ahl al-Bid'ah this, they will say, okay, what is it that you say is not part of the deen? Is it astaghfirullah? No. They say, when they do the wazifa, they say, astaghfirullah al-azim al-lazi la ilaha illa hu al-hayy al-qayyum. They say, is that what is not part of the deen? No, it is not. Astaghfirullah al-azim al-lazi la ilaha illa hu al-hayy al-qayyum wa atubu ilayh is part of the deen. Rasul alayhi salatu wa salam said it. But did he say it in the kind of wazifa that you are doing now? Did he do that with his companion? No. So that's what we're saying is not part of the deen. It's not the istighfar that is not part of the deen. Or salatu ala nabi. You say salatu al-fatih. We say salatu ala nabi is valid, but salatu al-fatih is not. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not recite it. And especially because it is said that it was revealed after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It was revealed. We do not believe in any revelation after this ayah was revealed. There is no revelation that will come to anyone again. That's why neither Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, nor Umar bin Khattab, Uthman bin Affan, or Ali bin Abi Talib ever came with any dua that the Prophet taught them after his death. They never came with anything like that. Or salatu ala nabi, or anything at all. Anything you do to get close to Allah, they never came with anything that came after his death. They would always say, while he was alive, he taught us this, he taught us that. But after his death, they never got anything from him. So we say, if anybody says he got anything from Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, now we will not accept it, because this is a new thing in the deen. So anything that was not part of the deen in the time of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, especially the day this ayah was revealed, that thing will never be part of the deen. Any hukum that you bring finish the day this ayah was revealed. The other ayah that was revealed after this is not a hukum, is a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing can come to anyone again of hukum or something that will say you have a reward if you do this or that. There is no such thing again. It finished the day this ayah was revealed. The ulama say, نَذَلَتْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ يَوْمَ الْجُمْعَةِ. This ayah came down to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Jumu'ah. Listen to five things about this ayah, so you know the importance of this ayah. It was revealed on the day of Jumu'ah. That's how many?
One.
It was revealed on Yawmu Arafah. That is two. بعد العصر في حجة الوداع. بعد العصر في حجة الوداع. والنبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم واقف بعرفات على ناقته العظباء. فكادت عبد الناقة تندق من ثقلها فبركت. So first of all, the ayah was revealed on Jumu'ah. The ayah was revealed on the day of Arafah, at the Arafah plain, while Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was addressing the Ummah. And it was revealed after Salatul Asr. And you know Salatul Asr, don't you?
No.
حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى وقوموا لله قانتين. A Yahudi was talking to Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. This is how our alim reports it. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, after bringing the isnad, says, أَنَّ رَجُلًا مِنَ الْيَهُودِ قَالَ لَهُ. That somebody from the Yahud said to Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, O leader of the faithful, آية في كتابكم تقرؤونها. There is a verse in your book that you are always reciting. or that you recite. لو علينا معشر اليهود نزلت. If it were revealed to us, we the Yahud, لاتخذنا ذلك اليوم عيدا. We would have made such a day of festivity. So you see, whose ada it is it that if anything appeals to them, they will just create a festivity around it? Whose ada is it now?
Yes.
It is the ada of the Yahud. So when you say, I was born this day, and now it is another day, just the day I was born, so I was celebrating it. Who are you emulating?
Yahud.
You are emulating the Yahud. Is it the Prophet that said you should celebrate the day you were born? Huh? What did the Prophet do, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, on the day he was revealed? What did he do? I mean, he was born. What did he do? He fasted. Is it once a year? Huh? Is it once a year that he fasted? Is every day, every Monday. He was born on a Monday. So if you want to emulate the Prophet, were you born on Sunday? If you do that service, it will still be a bid'ah. Because in your own, you have no right to say you are fasting on the day you were born. Because you are not Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. If we were going to celebrate yours, first of all, we would have been fasting the day Abu Bakr was born, the day Umar was born, the day Uthman was born, the day Ali was born, the day Fatima was born, and so on and so forth. We don't mark any of those. Only the day that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was born. It's not festivity, it is fasting, ibadah. And we're engaging in that because the Prophet taught us that. If the Prophet has not taught us that, we wouldn't have been engaging in it. So be careful. Don't celebrate your birthday. Or you say, on this day, I became a colonel in the army. So every such day, I will pop champagne, I will do this and that. That is Yahudiya. It's not Islam at all. So he said, we would have made it Eid. You do not create Eid by yourself. You do not create a festivity. You wait for Allah to tell you. And that's why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba that every festival that you had, Allah has replaced them with two. Two. Huh? Only two festivals. Eid al-Fitr wa Eid al-Adha. Only. All the others gone, condemned. So don't engage in them. So do not say you're doing your birthday, you're doing your this, you're doing your that. All of those things are not our way of life. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not teach us. And we abhor it because it is even an emulation of al-maghdubu alayhim, those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with. May Allah not be angry with us. So he said, so Umar bin Khattab asked him, Ayyatu ayah, which ayah is that? Qala, he said, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum, wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, wa raditu lakum al-Islam deena. So he said, even the Yahud were reciting the Quran. Huh? Even the Yahud knew the Quran. That means it was written, and they had it to read. Huh? Qala Umar. Umar said, قَدْ عَرَفْنَا ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ وَالْمَكَانَ الَّذِي نُزِلَتْ فِيهِ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ or نَزَلَتْ فِيهِ. It could be نُزِلَتْ or نَزَلَتْ. So he said, we know that day. And we know where it was revealed to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ بِعَرَفَةَ يَوْمَ الْجُمْعَةِ. And it was revealed to him while he was standing in the Arafah plain on Jumu'ah day. So Jumu'ah is our Eid. That's one. Arafah is also a big one. Isn't it?
No.
It's one of the greatest days that we have in Islam. Yom Arafah. So that it was revealed on Jumu'ah, it was revealed on Arafah plain, and it was revealed on the day of Arafah. أشار عمر إلى أن ذلك اليوم كان عيدا لنا. Umar is telling him that it's already a day of festival for us. Because Jumu'ah is the weekly festival of the Muslims, and then Arafah is the annual. So it's already a festival, we don't need you to tell us what to do. So when you now see people emulating the Christians, like they say, okay, the Christians, they mark 25th of December as the day of Christmas, let us also mark the day of the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the day of festival. You are emulating those ones. You don't need to emulate them. Do you need to emulate them? You do not need to. In fact, it's haram for you to. Because those people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they are the lost. They are the misguided. So how can you be emulating the misguided? قال ابن عباس كان في ذلك اليوم خمسة أعياد. He said on that day there are five festivals for the Muslims. First of all, Jumu'ah. Second one, Arafah. Third one, Eid al-Yahud, the Eid of the Yahud. والنصارى and the Eid of the Nasara. والمجوس and the Eid of the Majus. ولم تجتمع أعياد أهل الملل في يوم قبله ولا بعده. There is no way, there is no deen, there is no other day on which you have all these combined in one day, except on that day that ayah was revealed. So when that ayah was revealed, the Majus, the Yahud, the Nasara, the Muslims all had their Eid on the same day. And then this ayah was revealed on that day. So nobody will come to tell us, emulate us, do and do this and that. We have what is greater than yours and we hold on to ours. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. I think we'll stop here because we have run out of time. Insha'Allah ta'ala we'll continue tomorrow. May Allah forgive our mistakes. Sorry, Ustaz, we are not fast enough. Okay. Do we have any questions? No questions today? There's one.
There are many.
Many?
Yeah.
Question 3. 4. While reciting during Salah, for example in Subh, Maghrib and Isha, are women expected to recite aloud as men do, perhaps in a lower voice, when praying at home? Or is reciting silently permissible as done in Zuhur and Asr? No. This last part of the question, no. First part of the question, yes. You recite aloud, only that it will not be as loud as that of the men. But you recite aloud. So for instance, Salatul Maghrib, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm al-Din. The woman should recite like that. Not Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This is how the male imam would do. So the woman would not do that. But then it will still be allowed. At least the person by your right or left can hear you. That's how the woman should recite. Because there is no place where the women were asked to not recite as the men recite. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. So however the Prophet prayed is how the woman should also pray. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Unless the Prophet said the woman should not do this, should not do that. I hope I've answered the question.
No.
Then the next one says, can a husband hug or kiss his wife in the presence of another wife? You want to do something close to a blue thing? Huh? Intimacy is not done in public. We Muslims, al-haya'u min al-iman, wal-imanu min al-jannah, wal-bada'u min al-jafa'u, wal-jafa'u min al-nar. So because of haya, because of bashfulness, the thing that you do as part of intimacy with your wife, you will not let any person see. In fact, the ulama say, if you have a child, an infant, that is lying in the room, and you want to have conjugation with your wife, it's better you remove the child from the room and take it somewhere. Infant, maybe it was born that day or the day before. Take it out of the room. Do not say it does not see. You'll be surprised what those children see and know, and what sticks to their brain. Have you not realized that when they are born, and the day they start talking, nobody teaches them any words? So all those times that you were thinking they were not knowing anything that was happening, they did not know. They were actually storing everything in their brain. And when it was time, they just started letting it out. So do you know when they started storing those things? You don't know. So that's for children, let alone your other wife. No, you don't do such things while the other wife is watching. It's wrong. Wallahu ta'ala alam. This one says he lives in Europe and he wants to do fidya because he cannot fast as a result of a chronic ulcer that he has. What's enough for him to eat in Europe is €3, for instance. But in Nigeria, it's about 1,000 naira or 1,005 to feed a miskin. Is fidya to be done according to the amount he feeds with, or what will be okay for the person he wants to do fidya for? What is okay in your place is what you will use, not naira. Once you are in Europe, the issue of naira does not arise again. Unless you are feeding Nigerian miskin. And it is not Nigerian miskin that you should be feeding. It is European miskin. So you give him euro. You use euro to feed, not naira. Can you use naira to buy food there? You cannot. You use euro. Buy ba'am, and then you give to the miskin. If you cannot give them grain because they cannot cook where they are, you do the qiyas with it and you give them food to eat. I hope I've answered that question. Then this one says, what is the ruling on Salatul Tasbih? Salatul Tasbih is authentic. The hadith as reported by Abdullah ibn Abbas is very authentic. Some ulama say it's not authentic, but their word is against us. And insha'Allah ta'ala, ours is stronger. When I say ours, I don't mean me. I mean Abdullah ibn Abbas and those who are in support of him. So, and we are one of them. So the hadith is authentic, and so Salat al-Tasbih is authentic. It's a sunnah, and at least once in your lifetime, you should perform it. This one says, help me talk about Hamdiya sect or people. I don't know them. Hamdiya? Maybe he wants to say Ahmadiyya? Maybe. Or are you so? Do you know the person asking? Or are you the one asking? It says Hamdiya. I don't know. There are many sects now. Maybe there's a sect that's called Hamdiya where they are. I don't know. It says he's in their midst, knowing their belief, and that they are saying that Jesus has returned back in the form of Mahdi. Okay, that's Ahmadiyya. Who happened to be their late leader? It's disgusting to hear. How does one hold on to the Quran and Sunnah? Okay, how does he manage them? No, you cannot pray behind them. You cannot marry their daughters if the daughters believe in what they believe. And you cannot give them your own daughter to marry. They do not share the same religion with you. So know that. If they slaughter, you cannot eat. They are not counted amongst Muslims. That's why if they are recognized, they are not allowed to perform Hajj. As bad as Rafidiyah is, the Rafidis are allowed to perform Hajj, but the Ahmadis are not allowed to perform Hajj. So the consensus is that they are not Muslims, and so you deal with them as such. But the Christians are even better than them in dealing, because if the Christian slaughters to eat, you will eat. But the Ahmadi slaughters to eat, you will not eat. Because the Christians are min Ahlul Kitab, these ones are not. Do we still have time?
2 minutes.
What are the options for a Sunni sister whose Sufi father refused to marry her out to a Sunni tutor on the basis of Aqidah differences, despite all pleas by notable Muslim figures from her community? Note that they come from southern part of the country where there is no Sharia court. This is more than 3 years now, and the father is still insisting that even after his death, he forbade anyone from marrying his daughters to a Sunni. He should not be obeyed. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبَهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. So that is it. If you cannot have a Qadi Shar'i in the south western part of the country to get you married, do we still have the national Qadi of the Sharia court as we used to have before? Do we have the federal Sharia court? If we do, then you go to that place and get a qadi to get you married to the person you want to marry to. You want to get married to. Do we have? We have. Where? In the southwest? They do not. If they had, I would have said you should go to such a course. But if you don't, contact the ulama of sunnah that you have in that area. Let them advise you on who to meet that will be able to facilitate that for you. There should be somebody that will be able to either liaise with the Sultan of Sokoto or something. That's the advice I can give. This one says, as they know, women are not allowed to use perfume. Okay, we've answered this one. So I think we are done today. اللهم قسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأنصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما حييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. I want to use this opportunity to specially thank my brother Hafiz. I think it's Hafiz Arisha Kola Lawal. Yes, you know what he did. جزاكم الله خيرا. May Jannah be your reward. Bi rahmatihi wa huwa arhamur rahimin. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته Yeah, I can't remember the movie.